In tonight's Tennessee Treasure, well, we take you to the banks of the Mississippi River in West Tennessee, not the Nile. The idea first conceived around 1954 for the Memphis Pyramid. The ground would not be broken until 1989, with completion a short 2 years later. It stands at 321 feet, approximately 32 stories, and is by some measures the 10th tallest pyramid in the world. Initially built as a 20,000-seat arena, the structure in 2015 became home to Bass Pro Shops, a hotel, restaurants, bowling alley, archery range, and an observation deck, but no doubt one of the most unique buildings in Tennessee.
Welcome, dreamers of all ages, to another episode of Unbuilt, an unrealized theme park podcast. With me today, as always, is my co-host Ryan Dorman. How are you doing this fine spring day?
I feel like I'm on a podcast now with the leader of the woke brigade.
Oh no!
As of what you did on Twitter, I just don't know why you have to tear down your heroes.
I know. I'm sorry. They were just trying to do something good in the world, and I'm tearing them down. If you might not know what we're talking about, I ran into this morning a little proposal for a theme park called Jackalope Junction, and it is started by this guy, Greg Schlumsky, who is he worked in the theme park industry for a while, and he was also a UX designer, and he wants to build a theme park. It's a steampunk Western theme park, and it's a very small park, and it sounds charming, except for the fact that one of his brand ideals is to have no woke agenda.
No woke
whatsoever. In his values, they have to learn that they are one with God himself. So this is a theme park that may star a rabbit or a jackalope or whatever, that the creator, who claims that he is a mix between Walt Disney and Willy Wonka. In fact, most people, he said, come up to him and say that he is the new Walt Disney. He hopes that his little jackalope creation will be the next Mickey Mouse. No, I'm sorry. He doesn't hope. He knows it. He says he knows that it will be the next Mickey Mouse. He has several ex-Imagineers, such as Mark Eads and Kirk Hansen, on board to create this anti-woke establishment. And if you go on his LinkedIn page, he cries about how much Hasman Hotel will be messing with the youth. And
this is true. This is true regardless of the woke politics.
All the kids on YouTube are going on there, and they're watching Hasman Hotel, and they're becoming Satanists because what is it? Isn't the main character like Satan or something like that? And she's
something
actually
like that.
You know what? I don't actually care for Hasman Hotel. So I wouldn't actually know very much, but he did have his propositions for what he would do if he were to take over Disney. And do you want to hear the 20 things he would do?
I'd like to hear an abridged version of the 20.
Okay, I'll give you the highlights. It would bring Disney back to its core values. Get rid of anything not family friendly, period.
Yeah.
Bring back wholesome family entertainment that can be enjoyed by everyone despite their race, color, gender, and upbringing. Don't pander to very small but very vocal groups. Never alienate anyone. Go back to creating movies based on classic timeless stories. This one is my favorite. Create new original IP that will become timeless. And he says, like Jackalope Junction.
Like Jackalope Junction.
Yeah. And he wants... This is one you'll love. Okay. So he goes to get rid of Star Wars. Sell it back for a buck, but then license it at some super cheap deal. Get rid of Pixar. Get rid of the Muppets. Get rid of Fox. Get rid of ESPN. Get rid of ABC. And then work out a new deal with some other network and bring back the world to Disney.
This is very smart. I can't wait to go to Jackalope Junction.
Create new stories that can be shot at Golden Oak Ranch, like a new Spin and Marty that focuses on their grandchildren. That's what the kids want.
People love Spin and Marty. The Turner and Hooch did so well that they decided to go even further back. Just right. Bring back Rob. What's it? What do we talk about? Davy Crockett.
Fest Parker.
Yeah.
Get Fest Parker back.
Shoot it on his Parker. Vineyard.
Mm-hmm. This is the only one I like. Pay the employees at the parks better. They're the ones who make the parks into a great experience. Great point, except that when you go on his LinkedIn, he talks about how raising the minimum wage it should not occur, and instead capitalism should just adopt a policy where we give better salaries to people who are better workers. Exactly.
Yeah, whiter workers.
Exactly, right. retcon Cruella, Maleficent, etc. Good guys should be good guys, bad guys should be bad guys, period. Kids are confused enough as it is. We don't need them telling them that good is bad and bad is good. And then, my favorite one, build the world's first steampunk Western story park that's fully immersive.
So Disney should be buying out Jackalope Junction.
Exactly, he wants to create, he wants to just take over Disney and says, well, we'll build what I want to build.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jackalope Junction looks like you go to Chili's and they have a new kids menu. It's like Randy the Jackalope getting a nice plate of chicken tenders. Find him through the maze. Mm-hmm. It's like the world's worst, least interesting character designs. Oh, well. Is this libel?
I don't know, but I don't care. Do you want to hear about one of the wonderful characters that he's going to debut in Jackalope Junction under cultural appreciation? And so remember in the early days of Disney, they had the Indian Trails area in the Indian village. Oh, well, boy. He wants to do a character that's a red tail hawk, who's a master storyteller, along with his small band of Indians. And he created the character's name. The character's name is Chief Redtail.
You know.
Oh, my God. But he says, I've already had some tribal members reach out with their support for this, even sending me a tail feather of a red hawk, tail hawk for good luck. Did you tell them, even if they existed, that the main character would be named Chief Redtail?
Look, Peter Pan had it. Okay. It seems like this person's really dedicated. And if you're dedicated to, you can go to WeFund. What is it called? Do you see this website?
Yeah,
it's $200 closer.
It's the one. He has multiple of them.
Oh.
He also has one. And so one is WeFunder. Okay. I believe he has another one that I cannot remember, but he also has something called Give, Send, Go. And Give, Send, Go is a religious crowdfunding platform that if you don't have any money, you don't have to. So they do have like three options. Okay. You can either give, so you can give money. You can also share, so you can share it. But if you don't want to do any of that, you can pray. And
so everyone pray for this. Williams, Arizona, the Jackalope Junction. What the fuck? I mean, I do think, like, you know, at the very least, he seems to be trying.
Yes. So, and just to let you know, prayers written using cursing or hate will be deleted automatically. So you can't say, I pray this fucking shit will happen. Bless it to you. That will be automatically deleted. That prayer does not count.
You know, you're going to be laughing when Jackalope Junction is the number one streaming show
That's right.
Like
there's
Kirk Cameron streaming service.
Yeah, there's going to be a streaming show that's going to be on probably one of those Daily Wire streaming services, or I don't know. There's probably another alt-right piece of shit that's, you know, coming out with one. you can check it out at that place. And even if you like some of the people that are hounding me on Twitter right now, saying that I am just ruining people's good time and that it's totally just a very nice and wholesome thing, I may have searched his LinkedIn and found that he's probably not really politically wonderful. So there you go.
Praise to be
Jackalope Junction. May God find you a plot of land and you can actually build this thing and get it constructed. And all of the regular people who don't want to be infiltrated by the woke agenda can actually go there and enjoy a little day of steampunk fun and then go back to their houses and pray for their sins to be absolved.
Music Land was not too dissimilar from this.
The Dream Vision. Yeah.
Yeah. That video screamed like anti-woke, but.
They were probably courting for that as well.
Yeah.
There's also America's Heartland, which has kind of similar illusions, but we'll see if that even happens as well. Everybody's like really so mad that Disneyland, and I mean there's like an actual like article, they want to be the anti-Disneyland. Why? Because Disneyland's getting too woke, you know, because they changed a scene on the Jungle Cruise to be less racist. And that warrants an entirely new theme park.
Yeah.
I went to Disneyland and there were two men holding hands. What is this country gone to?
Yeah, at least we know that the World of Tomorrow would have had no same-sex couples.
Well, we can only pray, but for now, why don't we head millions? Why don't we head thousands of years into the past, BC, with our main topic? Okay, here we are, our main topic, and we have a topic that pretty much is about some con men getting things actually built, and then it goes nowhere where they wanted to be. Have you ever been to Memphis?
No, I have not.
I have not either. Weirdly enough, my mom just went to Memphis. I don't think she went past the Memphis Pyramid, but she did go to Graceland, and they quite enjoyed it. They were there for about a week, but I never actually have been to Memphis. I do know friends who have been, and they have indeed been to the Memphis Pyramid. Now, here in Las Vegas, we have a man-made pyramid, and it is called the Luxor, and it has a hotel inside. It's very nice, and I was surprised to find out that this actually predates it. Now, why are we talking about something that actually got built? Well, we're going to talk about a themed attraction that was proposed to go in there, and it's actually a long story on how do we get there. Both of you and I were not really that global travelers. We also haven't been to Cairo. Do you ever want to go to Cairo to look at the pyramids or go visit them?
My family friend went there and he said it was really nice. I don't particularly have plans to go over to Egypt, but like one day, sure, why not?
Yeah. You know what? Growing up, now you probably learned about this way before I did because you growing up like had quicker access to social media that would show it off. But you know, growing up as a kid, you would see, you know, the pyramids and the Sphinx and stuff like that, and you would assume, okay, so you get on a bus and you travel like an hour out of the into the desert. And it's not like that at all, because in recent years, as social media has taken up, you quickly learn that the pyramids are on literally the edge of the city.
Yeah.
And there's, of course, the famous photo of the Pizza Hut. And you're looking through the Pizza Hut, you can see the little markings says Pizza Hut, and you're staring right at the pyramids through the window. And so you just go out, and like, I guess it's like this UNESCO heritage site, and it's massive. It's actually, it's really big. But of course, you know, the second that can like end, is right where those pyramids and the Sphinx are, and that's right where it ends, where civilization is. So if you look on like Google satellite, you'll see like, okay, here's the border of Cairo, and here's right where the heritage site starts, like right there, boom. This is almost as if it was closer to that. So in 1954, Memphis artist Mark C. Hartz wanted to construct three pyramids on the side of the Mississippi River, with the largest two-thirds the size of the Pyramid of Giza. So Memphis, of course, borders the Mississippi River. Now, why is this? Well, I was just talking about the UNESCO site. In the UNESCO site, that's right around the site of Memphis, Egypt, an ancient city where the pyramids lie on the northeastern corner. Of course, Memphis banks the Mississippi, as the ancient city of Memphis banked on the Nile, and that's why they named the city Memphis. 30 years later, Mark's son took notice of the rise in tourism around Memphis thanks to the popular Graceland exhibit, and dusted off his father's plans. So Elvis's death kind of leads directly to this pyramid, weirdly enough. Revising it to a single pyramid, he caught the attention of entrepreneur John Tigrette, whose most successful invention you may recognize from The Simpsons, Glub Glub the Drinking Duck.
It's drinking the water! Take it easy, Homer. Now, this is an example of how one little idea, carefully marketed...
This is the greatest invention in the world. You'll make $1 million.
No, Homer. That invention is out already. I'm just using it as an example.
Going back for more.
Oh. Now, you knew this was a real thing, I hope.
Yes, of course I did.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure that you didn't think that The Simpsons invented it.
No, it's truly an incredible invention.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, and you know, it's so funny. They use the duck twice. They use it first in this episode, and then they use it in King Size Homer, where, you know, press any key, and he has the little duck going, yes, yes, yes.
Hey, Homer. You promised Mom you wouldn't wear your dress outside.
Nuts to that. I'm going to the movie.
Shouldn't you be working?
I got someone to cover for me.
He sold 22 million of those ducks. I kind of want one. I want a duck. A little duck going into my water.
It's quiche now. Now it's like chic. It's like now you can... Mm-hmm. Back then it was tacky, but now because it's so old, I want one on my desk. It's ironic.
Yeah. Initially, Tigrette's plan was to build out a whole interactive experience of a radio station, arena, viewing platforms, and restaurants, including a Hard Rock Cafe, which the chain was developed by his son, Isaac Tigrette, along with Robert Earl. It would be the first pyramid of consequence built in over 5,000 years. That comes from 99% Invisible. Just to let you know, there's tons of articles on this pyramid because people are fascinated with it. Although the turnaround was fast, groundbreaking in September 89 and opening in November 91, much of the plans grew more elaborate. Per the Tampa Bay Times, for some reason, Tampa Bay Times, the Great American Pyramid, as it is now called, will consist of 8 parts: the arena, a Hard Rock Cafe, the College Football Hall of Fame, which is going to be moved from Kings Island Amusement Park, a food court, Dick Clark's American Music Awards Hall of Fame, a glass-enclosed inclinator, an elevator that will climb the northwestern edge of the pyramid and give a view of the Mississippi and two quote-unquote experiences. One will be the Egyptian experience, a high-tech tour of ancient Egypt that goes heavy on the entertainment and light on the education. The other will be the Memphis music experience featuring blues and rock and, of course, Elvis Presley. So they kind of want to squirrel away from that, you know, Graceland tourism. But there's more. Near the pyramid is a city-owned amusement park named Mud Island. Now, you might be thinking, there was an amusement park here? Not really. It's kind of more of a, you know, a leisure park. There's no, like, actual rides there. The park is in the middle of the Mississippi, connected by monorails to downtown. Part of the Great American Pyramid deal is for Mud Island to be managed by Schlenker, made part of the pyramid attraction, probably renamed Festival Island. Schlenker is actually the manager of the project that was assigned, and we'll get to him in a second. This is likely because Memphis Mayor Dick Hackett had different ideas in mind. He wanted to attract a basketball team for the NBA to relocate there. So it was mostly focused on the arena as this was being constructed. The construction was kicked off of aplomb with a massive shiny shovel called the Big Dig and a recreation of the statue of Pharaoh Ramses placed outside the site. And you can see that shiny big shovel and the Ramses statue that actually stayed there for multiple decades. Unfortunately, multiple delays occurred due to torrential rainstorms, and the project's manager, as we mentioned, Sidney Schlenker, was fired after numerous issues. Now, some people think that might be a curse affecting this place. Well, Isaac Tigret, owner of the Hard Rock Cafe, may have had a hand in that. During construction, he had a crystal skull from South America welded at the apex of the pyramid. So he gave it to like some like construction dude. Hey, put this in the pyramid. I think it's cool. And he had it welded. And they found it years later. They actually took it out. And it was like the source of like, because people said he did this like early on, and people are like, well, that place is clearly now cursed. And the curse would come full force during the opening night concert with the Judds, in which during an intermission, the toilet system did not function well. The sewage system backed up, not able to handle high volume flushing, and flooded the arena and basement with sewage. So it's the first night the Judds are going out, and like during intermission, suddenly people are told to stay in place because suddenly like places in the arena are starting to fill with backup sewage. Lovely.
That's disgusting.
I know. So sporting events and concerts came and went through the 90s, and then Memphis got its wish. The Vancouver Grizzlies migrated over to Memphis for the 2001 NBA season and took over the pyramid. Now, this is good. For a hot second, the Memphis Pyramid went from being a tourist monument / concert arena to a true sporting venue. Unfortunately, the city shot itself in the foot. The Grizzlies required a full upgrade of the stadium in order to enter a long-term contract, which would have required closing the pyramid for a full year. They didn't have another option, so Memphis instead chose to spend $7 million to upgrade the facilities for the pyramid as a short-term home, while spending $250 million to construct the FedEx Forum. Okay, well, the Grizzlies moved there in 2004, so it just goes back to being a concert arena. Wrong, because the city of Memphis let the Grizzlies agree that nothing can perform there without the team's approval. So the Grizzlies essentially have this place in a bind because the FedEx Forum is also sponsoring the team. So the FedEx Forum goes to them and goes, well, you can't allow any other competition. If there's going to be any music acts or something like that, it needs to come here. So the pyramid just went abandoned. It just went completely dark. Why would they make this agreement? I don't know.
It's a terrible agreement. Yeah, yeah. It's like an in perpetuity agreement that we can never use this without your approval. What a nightmare.
So, but good thing, because it was just performances. Like, Like, that's it. It cannot be used as a concert arena, as a sporting venue, or anything like that. So they need to find something else to do with it. So Memphis businessman Scott Ledbetter led the charge on seeing what the attraction should become. And here we go, our unveiled attraction for the day. Greg Erickson, a Memphis marketing executive who had worked for Busch Gardens, Disney, and Ringling Brothers, brought the proposal forth. The cost will be $150 million and cited that it can bring in $200 million a year while creating hundreds of new jobs. So what is Pyramid Adventure, the indoor theme park that he proposed? Well, let's take a tour via the archive site for the proposal itself. The signature attraction of Pyramid Resorts, TM, is the $150 million Pyramid Adventure, TM, theme park. Pyramid Adventure is an innovative and immersive themed experience that combines more than two dozen indoor attractions, unique rides, simulated adventures, interactive activities, and educational slash edutainment exhibits. Even the dining and shopping will be integrated into the park's storytelling, and there will absolutely be no woke agenda. I didn't see that coming. I'm just kidding. Pyramid Adventure TM will come to life through a theme park rich in texture, emotion, detail, and originality. From high atop the entrance plaza's observation deck, the view onto the grand rock formations, tall mountains, roaring rivers, cascading waterfalls, and racing roller coasters offer a prelude to the captivating naturalistic treasures and high excitement adventures experienced inside the park that lies below and above. Your first sight of the park awakens your sense of adventure. You have arrived within a land of discovery, excitement, and thrills before you. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Like, it just kind of goes on. Thrill seekers will board a high-flying roller coaster at mid-level, which winds its way from the upper reaches of the indoor pyramid through a series of corkscrews that propel you outdoors, where you fly down the slope of the pyramid from 280 feet in the air at outrageous speeds. Hang on, you're for the ride of your life. And this is sounding kind of like Dream Vision thing now. Accessed in the cave from a cave in the lower terrace of the main mountain is a 100-foot-tall water flume ride that takes passengers on a meandering journey through a cool mountain caves and along craggy ridges until it reaches the mountain's edge, where it whisks you from the soaring heights of the park, plummeting down an amazing 50-degree angle in 1.3 seconds. Be an amazing sharpshooter while piloting your SUV-style vehicle through a imaginative, immersive environment, firing your personal laser gun at strategic targets along your journey. Your specially designed car logs each sport at point as you score along the way. So a shooting dark ride, basically. For the hands-on adventurer, climbing walls linked by suspension bridges that provide views of the entire park, exploration caves can be found interspersed across several levels of the mountain. So a ropes course. For the young and the young at heart, tranquil rides and play zones provide fun and entertainment suitable for the whole family. Take a magical ride on a 1/2-scale 19th century replica steam train as it winds through the mountain canyons and over wooden trestle bridges. So pretty much this will be like on multiple levels. Rising directly through the center of the mountain canyon is Pyramid Adventures, TM, signature glass enclosed apex elevator. Now pay attention to this one. The ride takes guests at a leisurely pace up 300 feet to the 12,500 square foot observation deck of the pyramid, delivering passengers to and from the highest level of the parks. As it rises and descends, the elevator rotates for a complete 360 bird's eye view of the park below. Adjacent to the apex elevator is the park's Parachute Adventure, a skin-crawling drop ride that simulates a free fall from heights of over 200 feet. Other attractions to the Pyramid Adventure, TM, include dark rides, motion simulators, interactive activities, and an educational discovery center located at the pinnacle of the pyramid. Adjacent to the theme park is Pyramid Park Plaza, a 25,000 foot square foot retail experience that is an attraction unto itself. And of course, there's a Pyramid Park Hotel, which also has a pyramid design. It'll be a striking addition to the Memphis skyline. And then this is an interesting one. Just across the river is Harbor Island, which will immerse visitors in the history, romance, and mysteries of Memphis and the Mississippi River. You'll be able to trace the twists, turns of the Mississippi River, following the River Rock, and learn about the shipping of cotton from Memphis down the river to the rest of the world in the Mississippi River Museum. I don't know if I want to learn about that. The museum also provides a front row seat to experience the rich musical history made in cities along the river, from New Orleans jazz to Memphis blues and Elvis rock and roll. Again, trying for that Graceland audience. You'll also be able to enjoy music of today's hottest acts in our new 15,000-seat amphitheater. Okay, it's getting a little too big here. Explore the mysteries of real decommissioned military submarines and ships in one-of-a-kind floating maritime museum, and then relax in another 350-foot room hotel with breathtaking views of the river on one side and glittering city skyline on the other. This is a lot. Okay, this is a lot. I don't know how this would be $150 million, because this is a lot. Anyways, you could see the concept art there of the Pyramid Adventure, and this would be situated inside the pyramid itself. It kind of reminds me a little bit of both Knott's Camp Snoopy and the Adventure Dome, which are indoor parks that have kind of like these mountainous rock facings. You could see the flume ride and the roller coasters in there and the train going on its trestles. And then there's more concept art with, you know, a lot of kinetic elements of that log ride and the observation elevator. Pretty nice, I guess. It looks interesting. What are your thoughts?
I mean, there's a lot of shit happening. I mean, concept art is a bit difficult, right, sometimes to tell, because they emphasize kinetic motion to give the impression of what it's going to look like. But there's a lot happening in this thing. It really doesn't seem like, if I'm understanding this correctly, though, in the center, there's a lot of area to walk in. There's none. It's all attractions in the center of the pyramid.
Like pretty much. It's like it looks like it's probably a dense on multiple levels. That's probably would be my guess.
Because it looks like there's that perimeter, like that perimeter area to walk around, but most of it in the center is waterways, and it already doesn't quite look like an efficient use of the, I mean, obviously the Pyramid Plaza would make up for that. You know, that would make up for having most of this area be just attractions.
There's so much going on here. Not only is there the theme park, there's two hotels, and then there's the retail, and then there's the amphitheater, and then there's the decommission, there's a maritime museum, and it's so hard to keep track of everything, whereas it's kind of obvious where this is going, and that somebody came in with a far simpler solution. It's an odd solution, okay? Don't get me wrong. It's an odd solution, and it's something that makes people go, what? That's a thing. So let me ask you another question. Have you ever been to a Bass Pro Shop?
Of course I have.
Yes.
Of course I have. I love this, by the way. I'm so excited we get to talk about this.
Okay. So so go on. How many Bass Pro Shops have you been to?
Maybe like 5 total in my life. I mean, so you have Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's are basically the same store.
Okay. I've never heard of that. Now, what's the other one?
Cabela's is just the same thing.
Okay.
Cabela's is
owned by like a. Are they just?
I actually don't know who owns Cabela's now that I think about it. Let me see. Cabela's. Oh no, they might be. Shit, are they the same? Oh no, who owns Cabela's?
Yeah, but like, are they like as well themed, similar themed, or?
I think they're exactly the same themed.
Okay, got it. All right, because a Bass Pro Shop is pretty much a hunting and tackle shop that is like beyond anything you've ever been to before.
Not to cut you off, but they do own Cabela's, so it's basically the same store. Yeah.
Okay, got it. And they are just the most well-themed stores you'll ever step foot in. We do have one here in Vegas. It's connected to the Silverton Hotel and Casino, just off the Strip. And true to its nature, what restaurant do you think is out in the parking lot in front of it?
In front of the Bass Pro Shops?
Yeah.
I actually have no clue.
Why, it would be a Cracker Barrel. because of course it is.
Have you been to Bass Pro Shops?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
The Bass Pro Shop, once again, is in, here in Vegas. And the hotel that it's next to, it has actually integrated it, because you go up to the Bass Pro Shop and there's a giant aquarium that they'll sometimes have like mermaids swim in. And then that kind of transitions into the faux rock canyon of the Bass Pro Shop. And I've only actually really been to that one, but I'm pretty sure they're like mostly the same, like how they're themed. But they're really, really cool to walk through, even though, like, you know, there's unfortunate aspects about it. It's like there's a gun range, for example. You have to deal with that. And I mean, there is a fun shooting gallery, though. They have a shooting gallery, which I've played at.
Oh, yours has like a gun range.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There
is. Oh, wow. I don't know if mine has that.
But there's a shooting, but there's a regular shooting gallery, you know, where you just have the RFID guns. And I love shooting galleries now. That's like something I've like kind of started to get into now is shooting galleries, because it's so much fun. I don't know. Have you?
Maybe you should get into gun range. Is what I'm hearing.
No.
Sounds like you would like that.
Only fake gunplay only, where you're just activating little targets. That's what I want.
When I was young, my parents would take me to, it was Cabela's. So Bass Pro Shops acquired Cabela's, but they're basically the same shtick.
Got it.
It's like a very rustic kind of like lodging inspired big building with typically a big waterfall / mountain in the middle with
and a lot of aquariums.
Figures. Definitely a lot of aquariums, shooting gallery, and sometimes like a food court. Sometimes, I mean, they get really big. It's like a big thing in areas of the country that are really big into hunting, which is not really where I live now. So, it's the closest thing I think a lot of people have to a theme park besides like the Great Wolf Lodge.
Oh my gosh, that's so sad. You're right. Yeah, after this, I don't have much else to do for the rest of the day. So I'm going to actually go out to the Bass Pro Shop. Here, it's not that far, and I'm gonna snap some photos of it so I can put it on the Twitter as well, so you could just compare, because this is what happened to the pyramid, and it's somewhat, it's only increased the mystique of this pyramid. Okay, because so for about 10 years, people would drive down like a Memphis highway, or, you know, even be sailing on the Mississippi, and they'd see a pyramid, and it was nothing. It was dark, and they're like, what the hell's up with that? But then, mysteriously, at one point, a giant Bass Pro Shop sign comes up on the pyramid, and it gets, bam, right on there, and people are like, okay, now what is this? Why is there a giant Bass Pro Shop in a pyramid? And you might think, well, that is weird. That is very weird. Well, it is the coolest thing ever. It is unequivocally amazing. So let's get into this. Erickson and Bass Pro Shop were the two front runners for the replacement of the pyramid. But after 5 long years, Bass Pro Shop secured the license. It took another 7 years, but the world's largest Bass Pro Shop opened in April 2015. The wait was worth it. Inside is a gorgeously themed faux swamp, and not only a huge Bass Pro Shop, but multiple restaurants, and of course, the Cypress Lodge. Look at this photo! It's actually really beautiful. Don't you think so?
No, it's really pretty. It's like the natural. I've seen Bass Pro Shops, but I've never actually looked inside of this one. And is it like a waterway for the boats there?
Yeah, that's
like
part a faux of the swamp. That's a faux
yeah. Look at that
swamp. It's really cool. Weirdly enough, right now Tiana's Bayou Adventure is being slowly but surely completed. Well, really? Oh God, is what you want to talk about there?
That was like, let's compare Tiana's Bayou Adventure to Bass Pro Shops, as if you wouldn't inflame Brer, whatever.
Oh yeah,
you're a racist anymore. Whatever. Yeah. There's like 100,000 Brer Twitter accounts. But
I love how they're complaining about that fence when it's clear in the concept art it's going to be like covered up and stuff like that, but they're still whining about it. But still, you saw the critters, by the way, and of course there's going to be plush of the critters. They
of
just,
course.
Yes. They just installed, like, the front now is like it's a fake swamp. And I mean, I think this is playing at a different scale, but and of course that swamp is a cartoonish swamp. This one's more realistic, but this one is surprisingly giving it a run for its money. There's 100 foot tall fake cypress trees planted all around the world's tallest freestanding elevator, taking guests up to the top for an observation deck. And this was one of the requirements that when Scott Ledbetter put it out, he said, no matter what, every single one of these needs to have an observation deck, because the whole idea originally was going to be that the Hard Rock Cafe, remember how I said that the crystal skull was put into the apex of the pyramid? Well, that's right. Because the Hard Rock Cafe was going to be on the observation deck. So it was going to be right there, and you're going to go to the top. But that's one of the things that fell to the wayside when it just became an arena. So they're like, well, no matter what, it needs to have this observation deck, period. Like, that's what it needs. So both iterations had that, and this one is no exception. So right now you can go up to this. It's like about 300 feet in the air. Very nice observation deck. It has those terrifying glass floors that you can like look all the way down. They had those at the Grand Canyon. I believe they also have them now at the Willis Tower in Chicago. And they also have them in China, but the China ones have the video screens where it makes it look like it's cracking.
Mm.
That's going to really mess with you. So there's also underwater fit of bowling at the fishbowl. And look how cute this is. There's sharks and gators acting as the ball return.
I like the gator one. Yeah.
Oh, this is
so little Bass Pro Shop balls.
Yeah.
If you want to impress your
I mean, I think it's adorable. There's even a Wahlburgers Wild where Marky Mark can serve you a bison burger.
Have you been to a Wahlburgers before?
Yes, I have. They have one on this trip. We went there and it's fine. I would say it is fine. Shake Shack is better, but it's probably just as expensive and not more expensive than Shake Shack. It's fine. But I think that was like many years ago I went, though. Have you ever been to Wahlburgers?
No, I haven't. I've passed it a couple of times, but every time I've stopped and said, I could get a better burger somewhere else.
Exactly, right. There's 10 aquariums that can be viewed throughout the 535,000 square foot shopping and dining attraction. While there are no real rides unless you count the elevator, it took near 25 years to make the Memphis Pyramid into a legitimate attraction. So while the meme of the Bass Pro Shop and a massive pyramid seems funny, it's actually really mighty impressive. And there's a look down from one of the elevators on the entire complex. And what's interesting is look at the shape of the complex. And you'll notice that it's not in the shape of a pyramid. It's in the shape of an arena. So they took the innards of the arena and they turned it into a faux swamp with docks above it. And that's how it is. So this is a bizarre shopping, dining, retail experience. There's also a hotel there that you could stay at. You could stay inside this thing. There's multiple restaurants. This is honestly, if I were to go to Memphis, I would have to go here. I don't think there was any way that I wouldn't go there without making a stop here. I don't know about you.
I frankly, I'm thinking about it just generally. Like, it just seems like a fun thing to make a trip about. I think it's always been a joke amongst my friends. It's like the 10th biggest pyramid in the entire world is the Bass Pro Shop.
Bass Pro Shop,
Memphis,
yeah.
Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to want anything else to be there when what's actually there is so funny. And also,
it is funny, but like, my friend went and she loved it. She had a great time there. So, you know, who am I to say anything else? I want to go there really badly, to be honest. And it's almost got me excited to go to the Bass Pro Shop today. I'm like, all right, maybe it'll be just as good as this. I know it won't be, but what if? And speaking of what if, let's say Bass Pro Shop versus Pyramid Adventure. Which one would you rather have? So I'm going to let you take away.
The fact that the Bass Pro Shops essentially looks right now like the stadium makes me wonder, like, how feasible it was to build a massive theme park. Like, you would have had to gut what was currently there. And I imagine that the follow through in like a realistic sense would have been much tamer. That's a tough question. This is cool in spite of it being a Bass Pro Shops, I think. Like, I don't know if on its face this is an exciting attraction. Rather, that when we know what a Bass Pro Shop should be, we know what a camping store looks like. Many people have been to Dick's, and we like this Bass Pro Shop because it is, in spite of its premise, exciting and like themed.
Yeah.
The other one's a theme park. At least it's a theme park. You know what I mean? Like, at least it is doing something. Mm-hmm. Had that been built, I would imagine it would just fare similar to like the Mall of America's theme parks, right? Or any other indoor theme park. That would probably become a Nickelodeon park.
Well, that's the problem, is that either it would get lobbed on with some IP very quickly, because, God, who's going to build an original theme park nowadays? Or it's going to fail, just like everything else did. And, weirdly enough, Bass Pro Shop at least has brand recognition for it to succeed. As neat as it sounds, not much of it is particularly original. And I don't think it, like, kind of quells my thirst. But something about these, like, weird area attractions, they take even longer. At least the Bass Pro Shop got up. Who knows if Pyramid Adventure, like, it would have, like, been opened just like the American Dream Mall in 2020. And then, oops, that's the close because of a global pandemic. I'm thinking of, like, have you heard about the Mattel Adventure Park?
No, what's that?
Okay, so in Glendale, Arizona, they're trying to build this thing called the Mattel Adventure Park. And it's just as it sounds. It has some Hot Wheels roller coasters, a Barbie dream house, a kiddie section based on Thomas and Friends, and I believe like a He-Man laser tag thing. And it's like a small little indoor theme park. It was supposed to open before Super Bowl of 2023, and now it currently has an opening date of late 2024, so it just keeps getting pushed. Now, there's actual vertical construction, the roller coasters are finally going up, but then Mattel, like, for some reason, doubled down and said, now we're going to build one in Kansas City. And they can barely get it built in Glendale, Arizona. That is what I'm thinking when it comes to this, is that it is hard to build one of these things in the first place, even with a major brand behind it. So not only will you have to do that, but you have to have several things jut into the structure. Not only you're going to gut this pyramid, you are going to attach a roller coaster on the side of it that goes down one of the sides. You're going to build extensive rock work throughout the entire thing. And then not only that, you're going to build a giant retail plaza and a giant hotel that is also a pyramid. There's just too much here. Whereas Bass Pro Shop came with an idea that is keep it simple, stupid. What we're going to do is build the most cuckoo bananas Bass Pro Shop ever. It'll have several dining locations and whatever, but it is still, at the end of the day, a Bass Pro Shop that is doubling as an attraction to attract tourists. And that is much cleaner. And that's the thing. It's just far cleaner. And I can't believe that I am stating that it's a better idea to have done this, because, the reason why I started this podcast is because isn't it cool to have theme parks? And if it were to be what if, like, not have a cool roller coaster, wouldn't it be better? But I just don't see how this would have feasibly have happened. And at the very least, if this thing were still closed, if it was still like just an empty pyramid, I would be like, yeah, bring the theme park on. But I think this is an intelligent use of that space. I don't know if you feel the same or...
Well, I think it is. I think it certainly is an intelligent use. It's not like they replaced it with a strip mall.
Mm-hmm. Right.
However, I do think that, like, I don't know. I'm not convinced the Bass Pro Shop was the best use of the space. I think I would have liked to see them try to do an indoor theme park.
Oh, all right.
At the very least. I know that perhaps pragmatically it would be very difficult, but just looking at the base concept, it's not that interesting, but I don't know if it's any... It's like... how do I like phrase this? Okay, if you opened up like a Kentucky Fried Chicken in the in the pyramid and like the whole thing was themed to look like Kentucky and there were like special giant buckets and stuff like that, one might say this is absurd. It's highly themed. It's unexpected for a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I feel that way about the Bass Pro Shop. Like, I don't know if I actually would want to go buy tackle at this Bass Pro Shop. It's just a funny, it's a store. Like, I don't see how you couldn't do this with like a Walmart or like a Fry's Electronics or something like that.
Rest in peace, Fry's Electronics.
Exactly. Right. But it's like it's a highly themed store. I think that if the theme park had been built, the question being proposed, I think it would, it would become some kind of a Paramount or Viacom or some brand would have snatched it up. Because I mean, like, I don't know of any real small parks like this that don't eventually become landing grounds for a future property or something like that, right?
Right, yeah.
Or maybe absorbed into, like, Cedar Fair. I don't know what this would have had, but it was only a few attractions, right? It was, going back
it was,
the list.
There was a shooting, there was a ropes course, a roller coaster, a dark ride, a flume ride, another roller coaster, a train ride, and some kiddie rides. So...
That's like insane. It's an insane number of attractions, actually.
It's about less than a dozen.
Less than a dozen in an indoor theme park in a giant pyramid.
I mean, let's see. The Venture Dome has quite a bit. They're not
about like smaller parks that have had like half of that. You know, plans that have had even less.
Jackalope Junction would only have like five rides. And
hey, Jackalope Junction is a themed experience. It's a themed experience tied in with a cartoon and a live action TV show and an ARG and AI.
And there's a time traveling man in there. That's totally not the Dreamfinder. It's not the Dreamfinder at all.
I hope they're getting paid at least. You know, it's hard to get a job in this market. I think that, had it been built, I think that's the direction it would have gone. I also don't know if it would have lived up to all of the potential plans. Mm. You know, this plus the Pyramid Park Plaza, plus the Pyramid Park Hotel. And then Harbor Island, I'm guessing, was Mud Island converted to.
Yeah.
So this plan would have been a lot bigger. I think that it would have been pretty exciting. I worry that it wouldn't have actually gotten finished to the expected degree. But like I don't know if a Bass Pro Shop is an efficient use of this building. They made it one, right? Like they made it a better use of the building than just if they shat a Bass Pro Shops out into the building. But I do wish like they had committed to the bigger theme park.
So question. What if Big Bass Pro Shop says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to add a roller coaster in here. It's going to be an hour roller coaster in there.
That would tempt me, to be honest with you.
That would be better. Like that would be better, like, even though it's still the Bass Pro Shop, but now it has a $20 a ride roller coaster.
I mean, I think it would be better, would be better than what it's currently, where it's currently sitting, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a case where it could be worse. Like just to throw a roller coaster, kind of like throwing a roller coaster into a casino. It's just that makes it always better. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's a fancy mall right now, like a really fancy mall.
Kind of, yes. It's more of a shopping attraction, I guess I would say. Which is something I'm very familiar with because, dare I say, that's a lot of what Vegas has. We have the Forum Shops, we have the Grand Canal Shops, which are pretty much these highly themed shopping experiences, I guess you would say. And so it almost kind of reaches out to me in my childhood, you know, where it's, you know, you're going shopping, but this is, you know, there's a little bit of whimsy here. There's a little bit of Disney magic, you know, themed.
Yeah. Experience. But I will say, even on its face, like the roller coaster alone that has, you go outside and then go down the slope of the pyramid sounds like it would be interesting enough to justify the whole thing.
That's if they could do it. I don't know.
Well, sure.
Engineering wise, that would be possible. I have no idea.
If it turned out, right, that this park, if it turned out this park was going to be a complete piece of shit and they didn't have the time and they didn't have the money and they didn't have the focus to build this thing, then absolutely, I understand where you're coming from with the Bass Pro Shops. But assuming it was built at least close to specifications, like that maybe the detail was a bit more sparse, it was like a bit cheaper, but it was generally the same. You know, I do think that that would be a neat little themed park. Though I actually wonder whether the foot traffic would be less than the Bass Pro Shop.
That's what I wonder too. You tell people, oh, there's a Bass Pro Shop, there's an observation deck, and there's a swamp. The thing is that people will go, that's amazing. It's just a Bass Pro Shop, and I could go to it, and it's a pyramid. Yeah, awesome. I'm going to go there. Tell people it's a theme park. They'll be like, oh, then I have to pay to get in. I don't know. It's kind of corny. So, yeah, I do definitely think that they get almost more foot traffic over being a Bass Pro Shop. And I mean, it was a brilliant decision by them. Because you know how much free press they got over that, like way more than they would have just building a regular Bass Pro Shop in the middle of Memphis. They got a great deal there. Like,
no, it's really smart.
Yeah,
it's really smart.
I just. Oh, just, you know, it's so funny. Like I was looking at these and I like planned these way in advance. And so like, I almost forgot what Pyramid Adventure is. And I like, I looked at it. And I'm like, Pyramid Adventure? And I'm like, why did I put that on the skit? You know, there must be a reason. So I typed it in. And I'm like, oh, because I wanted to talk about the Bass Pro Shop. That's why I put it on here. Because I went into a rabbit hole about this Memphis pyramid like a while back, and it endlessly fascinated me, specifically because we have our own pyramid here. We have the Luxor here, and nobody bats an eye towards that. But this thing is in Memphis, and people are like, why? But the funniest thing is that Isaac Tigret. I love the idea of a pyramid Hard Rock Cafe so much. He built one in Miami. You could, I don't know if it's still there, but there was at least one point a Hard Rock Cafe in a pyramid in Miami. And you could have visited that. So he had what he wanted eventually. So I guess there's a happy ending for that. But as for the Memphis Pyramid, I guess it wasn't to be. Build it or not, I'm assuming you're saying build it?
I am. Saying build it. I think that like the novelty of the Bass Pro Shop is not enough to outweigh a potential theme park.
Okay.
I like the swamp that they have there, but I don't see anything innovative enough in this Bass Pro Shop compared to even other ones.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a Bass Pro Shop typical one on steroids, but like, I don't look at this and say they took the space and did something really, really new with it. They just made the best of a bad situation, and it's not bad. Like, mm-hmm. It's a good thing that came out of it, but I think I still would have wished to see something a bit more unique in this space.
I say don't build it. We're going to switch from the usual. I think that there's nothing that unique about Pyramid Adventure in what was proposed, and the idea of the Bass Pro Shop in the pyramid and the way it is so unique, and it's so funny, and it's so just uniquely American that I almost prefer it over something that could have easily failed and caused the pyramid to be abandoned. This is the one case where I'm like, you know what, let's let capitalism win in this way without rides versus one way with rides. And that is going to be the stake that I'm going to put in the ground over this. I'm so sorry to tell you that. So my apologies, but I'm going with the hunting and the tackling and the probably problematic people that are involved with Bass Pro Shop, and the problematic people that go to Bass Pro Shop and are probably currently also trying to fund Jackalope Junction. But I don't care, because that underwater bowling alley is just so adorable. Seriously, you guys got to see this underwater bowling alley. It has a great white shark and your ball comes out of the great white shark's mouth. Isn't that cute? No?
On that note.
On that note. What?
No. Sometimes I wonder if you could like go through these episodes like every week and see what our build it or not decisions are and make inferences about our psyche from week to week. Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying, that it's like not, it's really not the most incredibly unique themed park. And I guess this is a unique Bass Pro Shop. So like just to cover my bases from what I was saying, it definitely is a unique Bass Pro Shop. But I would have been more interested in seeing how the coaster panned out. At the worst, it could be a funny thing where we say, look at that shitty theme park that was in the Big Pyramid before Bass Pro Shops bought it like a year later.
Yeah. Well, if you out there wish one way or another, let us know. But I think that does it for us for this week. Next week, we'll look forward to another archive episode, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. But in the meantime, please follow us on social media on Twitter at UnbuiltPod. You can reach me at OpenMothersMail and Ryan Dorman at OpenTheDorman. Feel free to email us at UnbuiltPod@gmail.com and rate us wherever you find this podcast. Please write a review and tell us how we're doing. And if you don't like us, thank you for listening to Secrets of Egypt Revealed. I'm fan Swa Roy. See you guys.
See ya.
The mist on the lake in the morning. The smell of the campfire at night. The feel of 8-pound test running through your fingers. And that trip to the store just to get ready for it all. The treasured traditions of an entire way of life. And that makes those experiences priceless. Johnny Morris, Bass Pro Shops, and Cabela's, world's foremost outfitters, voted America's best outdoor retailer. Save even more and support conservation when you join the club.